All right, folks, we are back on the flexic.com T-Talk podcast. Stefan Tiedorf here, as per usual, not as per usual. That, you know, this is on brand for my guest this week. We have Ryan French in the house from Monday Q Info. How are you doing, Ryan?
Good, man. Thank you. That's perfect. Yeah, that sounded exactly like a tweet that I'd probably put out. So
yeah, that'd be something you'd write. Not normal, right? That makes a ton of sense. Yeah. How you been, man? It's like probably the busiest time of year for your Twitter right now.
Yeah. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. So happy to actually be home, and I've been on the road a lot. So yeah, happy to be home and get some stories written and actually get some work done besides just watching golf. And that's not a complaint at all. It's just, when you're at events, as you know, it's hard to write stories. You're always just watching golf and catching up and then thinking about stories you're going to write later.
Yeah. I don't get how you do, like, and I know neither one of us will ever call ourselves professional caddies, though. Like, if a professional caddy wasn't around and like the people around us didn't know any better, we probably would. But
but
like where people would know us better, like we would never call ourselves professional caddies. So the fact that you went out, caddied in your first PGA Tour event, you got through all 4 days. I haven't seen all 4 days yet. And then you'd still write stories at night. Like at night when you haven't caddied for that long, like my hips feel like they're exploding out of my body. I have no idea how you did work after.
Yeah. I mean, there was twice in the 6 days that I literally fell asleep at my computer. And that is like, I'm not a guy that just falls asleep anywhere. I got to be in bed. I was like, looking back, I really don't know how to do it. Cause Mark and I had just a ton of other stuff going on too. It was kind of like Mondays are always hectic. And then because it kind of like took off, he got a company to help him out. And I was like running errands for that. So it was, it was a crazy, crazy week. So I'm literally glad to be home and just chilling out.
Yeah. I mean, true. I forgot you also did the Monday on top of that. So there's another, it's five full 18s. And then, you know, you got those practice rounds. It's and if you haven't checked out the podcast, you got to make sure you go check out and get Any Given Monday. That's a two-part series right now about Mark Baldwin and Ryan's journey at the Barracuda last week or 2 weeks ago now. And just a great podcast. The first hour was great. Like, it's funny at the start of it, you're like, we're not going to get into every detail. And then you just go into every possible detail you can.
Yeah. We were like 40 minutes in and we were like on Monday afternoon. And I was like, all right, I guess this is a two-part deal. Mark likes to talk. I like to talk. So yeah, it's a 2 hour basis.
Very, very good. But yeah, just exhausted. So I have no idea how you were writing in between all of that, you know, practice rounds and everything. Plus, yeah, I'm not going to give away the stories. Go listen to it. It's great. Ryan ends up at some, I'm going to call it a garage in the middle of, Nevada somewhere. Just go and listen to it. You're going to find it interesting. And it just kind of, it brings into the week of a mini tour player on the PGA Tour in a lot of ways. And I don't want to call Mark that because, you know, he's a Korn Ferry Tour player. And so, but you know, there's the whole, it felt very chaotic, which is right on brand.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, get a phone call Wednesday afternoon that a company wants to put your logo on the thing and on your shirt and like chaos after that. And yeah, as you know, you've been out there, it's just like a different world. And so, even though Mark's a Korn Ferry player, trust me, we enjoyed the free and the step up in amenities of all sorts. So, we grabbed as many free bars, free towels, whatever as we could.
Oh, absolutely. And see, you did what I've regretted. And next time, if somebody's ever dumb enough to give me a third chance to caddy on the PGA Tour, I'm doing it. Is I'm stealing the bib. I have no idea why I didn't. Right. Yeah. And you did.
And you know what? The great thing is I actually, on Wednesday in between caddying, I played in the Pro-Am and Gino, Joel Damon's caddy, said that he steals from any like events that are special to him and Joel. And he told me like how to steal. Obviously I made it a joke and the Barracuda like played along. And so it was not really a stealing, but he said when he wants to steal it, he goes into scoring with Joel takes the bib off, puts it in the bag, and then the guy usually sits outside and asks for your bib. And Gino says he tells them that he left it in scoring and then goes to the parking lot.
All right. I got a plan going forward. That's awesome. Just quickly, and then we'll get to the week that was, you know, going from doing mini tours, Mondays, Corn Ferry Tour events to the PGA Tour as a caddy, what was the biggest, you know, shock for you or, you know, thing that, you know, you highlighted the golf balls, for example. For me, it like that was just my first exposure to a pro event. Was like, I just assume I assume the Corn Ferry Tour is like that. Obviously it's not, but you know, like what was the biggest shock for you outside of say the golf balls?
I mean, everything. And then it's kind of funny is like, I talked to Joel on Wednesday and I was telling him how great it was. And trust me, he did not complain, but he was like, hey, Ryan, this is like a 4 on the 10 scale. Mm-hmm. He's like, again, he wasn't complaining. He's just like, hey, I'm going to eat at home this week. Like, I'm going to make my own stuff. He's like, I saw Mark tweeted about how great the player dining was. And he's like, it's amazing that I'm used to like such good stuff that I think this is a 4. But he's like, you know, everything. I mean, the balls, you know, fresh towels, the caddy. I mean, I use a great example of, I went to Omaha for the Corn Ferry regular season finale, and the caddy shack was a few lawn chairs and a few tables underneath of the patio. And the caddy shack at the Barracuda was a tent, but an actual structure, and had 5 TVs, air conditioning during the day, heated at night, you know, free towels, free drinks, free food, and decent food. So it's like, it's 2 ends of the spectrum, man.
It really is. I don't think people really truly understand it. And I was living vicariously through you that week and just so excited for you, and Mark too. And I want you to go listen to it, but just Mark having that moment where it's like, hey, if I can compete out here, you know, I can't not go to Q school. It's like such a cool little line from the podcast. I think that we shouldn't talk about it too much more. I think people just need to go listen to it.
Yeah. And we don't talk about this in the podcast, but this is the excess of the PGA Tour. Mark registered, and obviously there was some like momentum and some like buzz. Mm-hmm. And so he registered, and obviously it's on computer, and obviously it must be sent to like this Frickson guy on site. And he literally pulled up as Mark was walking out from registration. And he's like, hey, you know, we put some stuff in your locker. And again, these are things that just there's no lockers at the Corn Ferry event. And so Mark came out of the locker room after we went to the practice round. He's like, this is the PGA Tour. And he's holding gloves. And he has 15 gloves. and they're like, and he's like, what the hell do I need, man? Every week
it's like that.
He's like, what the hell do I need this for? He's like, I've been using the same glove for 4 weeks on the Corn Ferry Tour. He's like, you know, it's just, that's the excess of the PGA Tour. It's just like, everything is there and accessible. And
a dozen golf balls a day, two gloves per day. It's insane. And then they still find ways to complain about, you know, the bananas not being yellow enough or something like that.
Yeah, Mark wears a hat that's not the regular Shrixon hat. He wears a Velcro hat. And he's like, we got the Velcro hats for you. And it's like, what the hell has happened? It's crazy.
Yeah, suddenly he's the big man on campus for him. Yeah. Hey, why not? Live it up. Why don't we hit the week that was? You know how this works, Ryan. Every week on the podcast, we give a score, whether it's a birdie, a par, a bogey, or you can give an honorable mention score. You can pick anything from a disqualification to, you know, a net score. You can give a net birdie you want. You can go anywhere you want for that. So why don't you hit us off? What's your birdie for the week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much better story this week than David Skins. You know, I tweeted about it a few times. I mean, it just, I talked to David, you know, just offline, and I was like, this is what this account is meant for, to tell this story. I mean, the guy has played in the minor leagues of golf for 16 years. 16. Has never had status on the PGA Tour, and won the last Corn Ferry event. That was his only way to get his card, is to win. And he won. I mean, it's just in the moment, the picture is like gone viral is just like a look into what 16 years means and what it means to finally achieve your dream. And, you know, again, and the listeners probably know, it's just like, there's so many people behind the scenes, you know, I mean, his wife worked full time and raised three kids while David's on the road. So birdie plus for David.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. The picture went viral from your account, which I'm sure the PGA Tour stole at some point, and we're not going to get into that. I'm not actually giving a score, but I'm just going to shout out the guy that said that you didn't put David Skin's name in the tweet. So you got people tweeting and engagement on the tweet. I thought that was probably one of the funnier things that have happened out of your account.
I mean, it's just like, Twitter is some sort of place, man. I mean, and literally people agreed with him, like underneath, and were like, yep, I guess it's hip to do that. And I was like, dude, I tweeted about the guy 9 times. Now, obviously, had I known it was going to go viral, I would have put his name in there. But I tweeted about the guy 9 times. So I was like, I didn't put it in there. And
Google who won. You'll figure it out.
It's like, Twitter, man.
Yeah.
Twitter.
I'm on the same vein this week. I'm giving a birdie to Ryan O'Toole. She picks up her first LPGA Tour win at the Scottish Open. Just awesome. Ryan's somebody that has ties to this podcast with our first ever guest being her caddy for a few years, Ryan DeVoe, no longer a caddy, now working for Mel Reed. So we got to know Ryan's story a little bit, just, you know, a grinder, right? Like been out there a long time, you know, never really gotten too close and finally picked up a win in style. You know, she had a birdie putt to tie the course record there with Lydia Ko on Sunday in Scotland. The ladies head to Carnoustie this week, so it's good timing. And, you know, one of those stories similar to David. At the LPGA, it's almost very similar in that way where, like, a lot, and I think Ryan has other investments and stuff and probably does fine. And, you know, she plays for PXG, yada, yada, yada. But, like, there's people on the LPGA Tour that have been members for years that, you know, they're not making as much money as people think they are. Like, I'm sure people think the same thing of the Korn Ferry Tour, and you and I both know, you know, unless you're one of those top tier guys on the Korn Ferry Tour that are heading to the PGA Tour, you're not making that much money. And the LPGA can be that tour as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love the win just because, I mean, like you said, there's very few what I call grinders, and it's not the women's fault, obviously. It's that there's just not enough money. And so you just don't see stories like Ryan's very often because, you know, they've run out of money. And so like a woman that finishes, you know, what she did, like 95th, 76th, they stop playing. And because to make 40 grand or 30 grand, and obviously that, as we both know, you net about zero of that. It's like, you know, what, it just doesn't happen. They just don't very often continue to play. So it was great it was awesome.
Yeah, and that actually goes into my honorable mention for the week is I'm just going to give an eagle to the story that they're raising the prize money for the AIG Women's Open right now. It's hit record levels. It's going to continue to go higher. This is what we need to see. We need to be able to see, you know, that the tour reinvesting like into the women's game. And they taught, like, I'm not going to break down the whole, you know, women's sports versus men's sports, but this is a great step forward and a great thing that, you know, I know of all the golf I'm going to be watching this weekend. Yeah. I'm going to peek a little bit of the playoffs. I don't care that much about the playoffs because similar to you, I think the most exciting part was last week. And I think this whole thing starts to become a gimmick very quickly once we get in the playoffs. So like when I'm watching golf this week, getting up early with the kid this weekend, just sidebar, it's my first weekend alone with the son. Oh, yeah. My wife's going to a bachelorette party. So,
oh no.
Yeah. This could be bad. But I'm sure we'll be getting up early and we'll be watching, the Women's Open.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree. Totally agree on all aspects. Yeah. I'll be locked in on the Women's Open too. Cause I mean, and again, Sophia Popoff, I mean, what a life-changing, career-changing year it's been for her. So
tour changing. She changed the tour.
Yeah, literally.
You'd love to see it. All right. Why don't you hit your par for the week?
So I changed my par. I'm going to go with Kevin Doherty. Kevin has been the bubble guy at the Corn Ferry regular final season, 3 years. He missed his card by an inch, I think, in 2018, and then got in the top 75 last year or last time that there was this season ending. This year has been 2 years. And again, this year, a final round 70 to sneak inside the top 75. And obviously it's a struggle of a season. You don't want to be grinding to keep your card, but he was playing with Austin Smotherman, who got his PGA, who snuck into the top 25. And, he had very similar emotions to Austin. And I think it's just a great look into how important just keeping your status is. Him and his caddy had a big hug and obviously were somewhat emotional, but it's been a crappy year. So it's kind of like a par. He didn't have a great two seasons, but at the very least, he's got a free roll to see if he can get his PGA Tour card in the next three events. And if not, at least he has a place to play.
And for everyone at home, you can clarify, if you're not within that top 75 on the Korn Ferry Tour, you are heading back to Q School, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So he would have ended up with directly to final stage. But for those that don't know, if you don't play well in final stage, basically you're going to get no starts or very few starts. And then you're on that Monday Q train of going to try to get a Monday Q and then get in the reshuffle. And it stinks. End of story. So at the very least, he's going to play a full Korn Ferry schedule. And I talked to him after for a little bit, and he's like, hey, now I'm freed up. So let's go see what I can do in these three events and see if I can get my PGA Tour card. But worst case, he's got a place to play.
See, I like the par for that score because this is a weird year with the Korn Ferry Tour. I get it. You have 2 years of places to play, right? And there's so many guys on the PGA Tour, and we're going to get to the FedEx Cup, those names that finished outside the top 200 that are in this complete limbo status that you've broken down greatly. But those guys benefited from this long season. I'm going to keep fighting for this big money. I keep getting my sponsorship dollars for being on the PGA Tour, which is a lot more money than what it is for being on the Korn Ferry Tour. But the Korn Ferry Tour, I like it as a par because a lot of those guys, it's a really long season. There's guys that probably would have been in that top 25. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've broken it down and looked back at it, that would have been in the top 25 if the season ended when it should have been, that aren't in the top 25 now because this super extended long. And it's just that weird, there's guys that benefited from it, but there's a lot of guys that didn't. It's just an odd limbo year for the Korn Ferry Tour, where the PGA Tour was almost like a win for a lot more.
Yeah. And I think it's such a, at least one season and you aren't in the top 25. You just know you're coming right back. But this is, you've been stuck in Korn Ferry for 2 years, and we'll get to my bogey, but that's why it's so devastating to finish 76th or 26th, because it's been 2 years. It's not like you're coming right back or hey, you just got through Q school and okay, I don't get my PGA Tour card. You've been out there for 2 years and now you're falling. You lost your card. It stinks.
Yeah. You burn money. It's like, hey, you get another chance to burn some more. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you hit your bogey? Cause I think it's related to what we're talking about. And then I can hit up my, my par and bogey for the week. And then we'll hit up your honorable mention before we start chatting the big tour for a little bit.
Yeah. Bogey is Taylor Montgomery. And exactly what you just said, Steven, is he was in the top 25, had the season ended. I think he was 14th or 15th if it was a regular season. And then, just struggled this year and just slowly started to trickle down that 25 and then missed the cut by a mile on the last event. And, there's a picture put up by the Korn Ferry. It's just him and his mom and dad watching scores come in, and it just must be agonizing to watch your career in the hands of others. And I always say that I use this example all the time when I talk about does it matter that he's 26? People always say he's going to come back next year. I use the Martin Piller Harris English in 2018 on the PGA Tour. Martin Harris made a putt on the last hole of the last regular season PGA Tour event to finish 125, knock Martin Keller to 126. I mean, that was 3 years ago. And Martin Keller is like in the hinterlands of Monday qualifying on Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, his career is like literally kind of fallen off of the edge of the cliff. And Harris English is, you know, like top 25 in the world or whatever he is. And it's like, you know, that's the thin line of making it. So like, is Taylor Montgomery's very talented and will probably, maybe he'll get it in the next three events. But also he could just like, it could be like a devastating end to it. And like, you know, he never goes out next year and just struggles again. And now we're 2 years removed and, you know, just kind of gets away from you. So I think he lost by, you know, lost his card by 3 points. And that's a rough one to take.
Yeah. You don't know the mental strain that could take. You got me on Martin Piller's PGA Tour profile right now. And yeah. Ow, yeah. That's all I can say. This guy hasn't made a dollar since April of 2021. He played in 40 events. He missed the cut in 23 of those on the Korn Ferry Tour. And we're coming from a guy that, you know, had stats on the PGA Tour for 3 years. It looks like,
And he's like, the second all time winning is, he's the second all time winning is, he has 6 wins on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, the guy's like a very good player. And again, you have to believe that Martin does exactly what we're doing. Like, what if Harris English misses that putt and he is in the 125? You know, does it like build his confidence and makes his schedule and all that kind of stuff? Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. Same with Taylor Montgomery. Maybe he's going to go in these next three events, kill it, get his PGA Tour card, and everything's going to be fine. Or he's like devastated, doesn't play well. Now he's back out on the Korn Ferry and either buckles up or, you know, the same thing again.
Yeah, you never know. I'll give Taylor, I won't feel as bad for Taylor. The guy made $290,000 this year. That is a 2-year wraparound. Like, we're still talking about with sponsors' money. He may have profited, what do you think, 175? Like, that's a decent
Yeah, yeah.
He's had a good golf year. Yeah, mm-hmm. So not too bad. All right, let's talk the big tour for a little bit with the PGA Tour. My par for the week, Ryan, is Kevin Kisner, and not him, but the whole Kevin Kisner for the Ryder Cup, and like he should be on the Ryder Cup. Now, my par is, do we have this conversation if Adam Scott doesn't hand him that win? Like, Adam Scott missed the putt for, and that happens if you look at a whole event, be like, well, that's why you play golf today. And I get it. Shut up. Right. But it's like, you know, Adam Scott missed the 3-footer. So we go back, we play that other hole. Kiz hits a great drive, gets a good rollout, yada, 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 whatever. He ends up winning. But like, there's at least 6 other guys, and I'm actually going to say there's 5 other guys, because they're going to put Phil on the team, right? Like, they're not going to not put Phil on this Ryder Cup team after being the PGA champion. So like, there's 5 spots. There's easily 5 other guys that are there. Maybe you could make an argument, but like, are we having this conversation? Is it that big on Twitter everywhere if Adam Scott makes that putt?
Yeah, I don't think it is. And I don't think if you look at it, I mean, first of all, like, the course is just too long for him. And second of all, he just hasn't had that great of a season. I think at a different place, or if they're really going to put the setup towards the strengths of like Kevin Kisner and forget everybody else, if they're going to set up Whistling Straits at 7,200, then Kevin might be in the discussion. At 7,500 is just like, What are we doing? I realize why he wants to make the team. You know, Riggs is a big part of this from Barstool Sports. It has, you know, obviously a huge influence and is a huge Kevin Kisner guy. So I wonder, Stephen, the other thing is, if Riggs wasn't a big Kevin Kisner guy, because again, this is social media at work, is like, would it be much of a discussion if Riggs wasn't such a big influence and pushing Kevin so hard?
Yeah, that's a whole other other question. And give Riggs and all those guys credit. Like, I just don't see that influence actually playing a part. We'll see. Like, if you look at it, you know, there, you know, Webb Simpson, it's like, it comes down to probably Webb Simpson and him. Like, you're gonna get, or like Daniel Berger. Like, Daniel Berger's had he's been one of the most consistent players in this giant 2 year stretch. I don't know. I mean, if it can, if it, I'm, this isn't a Daniel Berger fan account on this podcast, but you know, if it came down to those two, put Kiz on, but I'm just not sure it makes sense. But what I talked about was that, that putt, you know, about Adam Scott missing it. Adam Scott's getting a bogey for the week for me. And it's not just missing that putt. It's like everything. He's still rocking this long putter. He still somehow is the worst dressed guy in the PGA Tour. Like, can he not get a tailor for his pants? He has, he still has pleated pants that are like baggy at the bottom. He looks like he's wearing rain pants. It, like, all these years, and the putting is still what kills the, like, one of the most beautiful swings. It's a bogey because he should have made bogey on the last hole. He should have scooped up and withdrew the second playoff hole because he had no chance.
And I mean, that putt literally did not, I mean, it had no chance. It wasn't like he had lipped out. That was like as ugly as a putt can be. And, you know, from 4 feet, it was, I mean, again, we were going to talk about Will Zalatoris too, for the, like, if those guys could putt, I mean, they'd be one and two in the world. Just, it's not even close. I
don't get it. And the word, like, so the putt, let's go over that putt. So it's a 4 footer that goes right to left, maybe an inch, right? Like an inch or two, very straightforward putt. He, not only does he stand there and stares at it, and which is probably the worst thing ever. A 6-man playoff was probably the worst thing ever for Adam Scott. Mm-hmm. Cause he's probably thinking about, I've missed these before. Yeah. But so then he pulls out the yardage book. Then he pulls out the green reading book. Then he goes over and does aim point on a 4 foot putt, right? Then he re-pulls out that green reading book and then he gets over the putt and misses it on the low side somehow. And it's just like, what happened? Like, what is going on here? And it just, like,
I mean, I think there's just so much in his brain. It's just like, there's so much going on. It's like, you just get over, I mean, like aim point and green reading books. Like, dude, it's a 4 footer and breaking, like you said,
yeah,
I don't know, inside right, just putt.
Yeah, hammer in the back, the, like literally walk up, because you think, you know, if he's playing with his buddies, and he walks up and he just doesn't even think about it, he hits in the back, it's in the hole, but like he's sitting, like he's got, he's halfway over the hole with his one finger in the air. It's like, dude, you can't just, you can't even, you're shaking right now. You're not feeling anything with your feet. Just hit the damn putt. So I just get Adam Scott, just this whole get up. I'm over it. All right. You get an honorable mention for the week. You get to pick any score you want. What's your score and who's it for?
My score of the week is a, let me see. I'm going to say it's a birdie and we'll go with Jared Wolf. I mean, I'll add up. I did a stat and he got his PGA Tour card. David Skins and Jared Wolf have been pros combined for 27 years and has 0 years leading into this year of PGA Tour status. And it's just really cool. And the Wolf family has been very nice to me. And he's a super good dude. And I'm happy to see him get his card.
I think you underscored this and you undersold this guy. This guy hasn't played an event on the PGA Tour, not a single event on the PGA Tour. Made a lot of money this year, obviously. Does not play golf like Matt Wolf by any means. I mean, still hits it pretty damn far, but what a year this guy's had. You know, made 400,000 plus on the Korn Ferry Tour, 33 years old, doesn't have a 3 hairs to put together on the top of his head anymore.
Very true.
And I know all about that. So, and you know, probably just the stress of professional golf, and I have no excuse. I'm just bald. been a pro for 11 years now. That is a great story. And these are the stories we're going to talk about later. We're going to get into the Korn Ferry Tour players and who you think won't be heading back to the Korn Ferry Tour, who you think just benefited from a hot year and it might not be the most consistent, and just guys that are easy to root for. But before we do, let's actually get into a little bit of the FedEx Cup. So you've been highlighting, you know, outside that 200 mark, unless you're like a legend here, you're really not making it anywhere, right? You don't have status on any tour. So why don't you just give a quick breakdown? We're talking guys like Martin Traynor, for example, who I've caddied for, Jonas Blix. Where are these guys going from here?
Yeah. I mean, here's a crazy one. Aaron Baddeley is going to the second stage of Korn Ferry Q School. Aaron Baddeley has won 5 freaking times on the PGA Tour. And it's not like it was a long, long time ago. I mean, the guy's, I don't know how old he is, 40 years old. And yeah, I mean, you're kind of, I always say, Steven, is like, to me, the top 200 number is almost as important as any of those other numbers to me. Like 125, obviously huge, but like you fall out of the top 200, it's just like you're in golf's obscurity. And there is, I mean, I'm looking at the list now, you're talking Greg Chalmers, Kelly Kraft, Jonathan Bird, Ricky Barnes, I mean, Michael Kim. I don't know if he won 2 years ago, 1 year ago.
I mean, JB Holmes, this guy like was on top of the world like a few years ago.
I mean, it's nuts. And all these guys have, you know, are going to have to either go through Q school or, you know, a lot of these guys are past champions. So, but even the past champions, I was talking with a guy today, like the opposite field events are now co-sanctioned European tour events. So not going to go as far down the list as it once was. So all those guys that, you know, stuck in the field. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Michael Gellerman, who finished 203rd. Now he's won on the Corn Ferry Tour the last season, even though it was 2 years ago. So he still has full status on the Corn Ferry Tour next year, but it's golf's obscurity below 200. And it is great. Like the Aaron Baddeley one blows my mind. The guy's won $29 million, I think, in PGA Tour earnings. And he's going back to this, if he wants to, the second stage of Korn Ferry Q School.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, a guy like Hunter Mahan, too. Like, what status is this guy going to have, right? Like, he's got to be going back. Like, when was the last time he won? It's been a long time.
Yeah.
He's made, what, $58,000 this year. The previous year, you know, he played in minimal events, right? Like, he hasn't won. Like, I got to assume he's heading back to Q School if he even decides to do it, or if he's just like, hey, I'm just going to try to Monday. But like his game's not there for that even. So yeah, there's some big names down here. You were highlighting David Lingmer's story, finishes right on the 200 number after all of that said and done. What were you looking at with that story and everything you were following there?
I mean, honestly, Steven, I think it's probably the story of last week. It probably got buried and, understandably, just because it's kind of complicated to understand for the casual golf fan. But I mean, went to the Monday, and I mean, he's going to the Monday with like his career in some respects on the line. He had a terrible year in Korn Ferry. The few starts he got on the PGA Tour didn't play great. And then like was kind of trending over the last 4 weeks. I think he's had like a top 15 and a top 12 or something like that. Like, I mean, he has to get through that Monday. That was his only choice. And then gets through the Monday and then makes the cut. And then on the back, he played pretty poorly on Sunday at the front nine and goes plays the last 5 3-under to get his, you know, get inside the 200. And I mean, if he goes, I mean, first of all, at the very least, he has full Korn Ferry status next year. But if, again, he's playing relatively well, it seems, over the last like 4 weeks. If he goes and gets his PGA Tour card back, it's an insane set of circumstances and career changing. I mean, if he goes this week and finishes top 7 or whatever you need to finish in order to like guarantee yourself you're staying in the top 25, I mean, 2 weeks ago, his career was in the balance, you know, on Monday, and gets his PGA Tour card, it would be insane. It's quite a story to me.
Yeah, and it's funny because Chris Baker is the name at that 201 who I've never even heard of Chris Baker. I'm not going to lie to you. And this guy played his arse off. I think that at the Wyndham, he had his best finish of the year at T20 at the Wyndham, shoots 65. He shoots 63 on Tuesday, 65 on Sunday. Like this guy is like fighting for his life. And David Langworth pulls in, you know, a couple late birdies probably to just flip that number. Just devastating for a guy like Chris Baker, who's 35 years old, right? Like him and David are right in there, but like he played 22 events. David played 11. Like it's crazy how he got done. I think the crazier part of all of that is I'm looking down this list here, and there's a name here that played in two events and only finished 20 back of getting his PGA Tour card. Bernard Langer.
This guy, this is so good.
This guy had just under 100 points less than the guy at 200. Like, that is insane to me. It's insane.
To be fair, Bernard Langer has not aged in about 30 years. He's still the same age. So
yeah, it's true. And Tiger right there, 224. Yeah. He played three events. It's crazy. There's just some names obviously in here where, you know, we know all the stories, guys you're rooting for, like Jonas Blix. That's a guy like I root for, one of the nicest guys I've ever met on the PGA Tour. But let's go into that 150 to 200. Cause these are guys, when you're in this status, what does that mean for a lot of, for these guys?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to finish in the top. I think this year there's only three events. So basically you have to finish in a solo top, solo eighth, finish in one of these three events to get your PGA Tour card. Some of these guys are past champions, but yeah, you're going to be a Korn Ferry member. And I'm just scrolling down the list here, but like Scott Harrington, Scott Harrington's been out there, 15 years or something like that. Finally got PGA Tour status, just struggled in the middle of the year pretty badly. And, you know, he doesn't want to go back to Korn Ferry. It's cool. He's heading to 40 years old. And like, but there's a million, there's guys in there. Again, some of them are either exempt or past champions. Jimmy Walker, Patrick Harrington's in there.
Yeah, will Jimmy have anything? Like his PGA championship, I believe, was in 2016. So that's gone because you only get 5-year status on that. Like you're going to get these limited events and sponsors exemptions. Like Jason Duffner, he's right in there as well. Duff does not seem like a guy, like if he ever loses a card for good, he's done. Like you'll never see him again.
No, there's no chance Duff plays a Korn Ferry event outside of the finals. Zero.
Yeah, I wonder if you could find a bet on that. That's a good point.
I just see Duff as like, nah, dude, I'm going to take my 11 starts I get every year and see what I can do.
Exactly. Ben On, there's another one like that one's.
How long has David Hearn lived in this area?
That is exactly it. This guy has made a career off of, like, let's just go really quickly. So obviously this year he finishes 163, the year before 160, the year before 175, the year before, hey, got in the 150 at 138, the year before 120.
Oh my God.
2016 was the last time he finished the year within the 125. He finished 56th.
Oh my God. Just like what a life. I mean, it's just, I give him credit for, obviously the money's still good, even at 163. It's decent at least. And like, I just give him credit for like, I saw David at the Rocket Mortgage Monday. And I'm just like, dude, shout out to David Hearn. I would just be like, hey, I'm not going to be at a Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the guy's made $10 million on the PGA Tour in his career. He's made another mill out, say, on the Korn Ferry Tour. No wins on either of them. Yeah. He's got one win on the Korn Ferry Tour. I apologize, back in 2004. That's just like underrated grinder. I don't think we give this guy enough credit for the grind that he's been on. He's just one of those names and kind of very like Roger Sloan-ish. Like Sloan's kind of doing the very similar stuff, just kind of been grinding it out for the last couple of years, finishing in that kind of abyss there in between.
Yeah. In the 150 this is one of my favorite, I don't know if it's favorite stats, but Rob Oppenheim again in the below the 150, 161. Rob Oppenheim has been a pro for 18 years and has been to either Q School or the Korn Ferry Finals every single year. And he continues that streak this year.
That's baffling to me. There's some names in here like Wesley Bryan. That guy was playing really well for Luke Donald, like some big names in here that have just kind of fallen off, like Henrik Stenson, Chapel. Like I know he had that back issue. Grayson Murray's in that area, and his story's being told obviously on Twitter of late. Like big names in here.
I think and again to go back to the Canadian is Brad Fritch tweeted, I tweeted like what happens in each structure, and Brad replied with like 151 really sucks. And again, we go back to like, what would have happened to Brad's career had he been guaranteed, you know, 15 starts that next year. And so, you know, this year, assuming Rafael Campos doesn't get his card back in the Corn Ferry finals, you know, he missed 150, which would get you 12 to 15 starts basically by 2 points. And so, you know, what does that mean to his career? Because as you see for Brad, it, you know, it's basically been downhill since that moment. And, you know, you just don't know what that means. That's why all these spots are so valuable, all these levels.
And you gotta, like, when you're at that stage and you're like, man, I missed by 2 points and I played in like 30 events.
Yeah.
And then you go through the list and you see guys like Garrick Higgo, obviously got a win and he was just on fire at that point, and maybe not the best example, but you see like, you know, guys like, I had a good name in here, Seamus Power, for example. Like he played 16 events and he finished in the top 75. And I know golf, none of the players out there actually think this way, but it's like, can I actually beat people out there? Right? Like if I got to play 30 events and I can't even get my 150, and this guy's playing 16 events, right? Yeah. And like, or like 7 events.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's gotta be disheartening for so many of these.
Oh my God. Yes. 100%. I mean, it has to be, it has to be.
All right, let's hit up the Corn Ferry Tour and then we'll wrap up the episode for the week. I want to know, you know, we have the graduates coming out onto the PGA Tour. I want to know your thought. Well, we can each give one player who, if we had to put, you know, a mortgage payment down, who is one player that you say will never be back on the Corn Ferry Tour? And I know it's such a hard thing because we're looking at names here. We just went over names of major champions that need to fight for status, but you know, hypothetically, no one's ever going to call us out on it eventually. Maybe somebody will, who knows? But who is your name?
Exposed, we'll do.
Yeah.
I mean, eliminating Will as one of the 25, just because I don't really count him among the 25. But I'm going to say Nick Hardy. Really kind of struggled towards the end of the year, but I mean, at every level, it's just been really, really good. In the early part of 2021, Monday qualified a couple times in a row, was in contention both of those times, kind of finished down the leaderboard by Sunday, but has all the tools, struggled with the putter towards the end of the year. But I'm going to say Nick Hardy's really, really good. A great dude by all accounts, one of the better dudes out there, and works his butt off. And one of the few people that just had like, he's going to take his best friend up on tour. Eric Marcus has been on his bag since the day he turned pro. And I think that says a lot. It just kind of have that transition to the pro, to the PGA Tour. A lot of guys ditch their Corn Ferry caddy and get a veteran. And so, I'll go with Nick Hardy.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, ditching their Corn Ferry Tour caddy and then going out and getting a veteran. There's so many stories of not doing, you know, like stick with what got you there. And Brad Fritsch talks about this. We've had him on the podcast. He tried to do this one time he got to PGA Tour and the money started coming in for gear and stuff. And he started thinking it through and he got that advice of like, hey, you know, the gear you played got you here. The caddy that you know, got you here. Like stop trying to do too much. And so many of those guys that get there and they do too much. And that might play into my part when we're talking about a guy that, you know, if we have to do the opposite, we're going to be those awful people. We'll get to that in a moment. But for me, the guy, I mean, it's pretty easy for us to say, he's been on his podcast many times and we think he's great, but like the game backs it for the PGA Tour is Taylor Pendrith. I don't know. I've seen other people say that out there. It's almost shocking. He hasn't won this, and it's not like people are like, maybe he got a hot year. No, this has been like 4 years of this guy being on fire. If you go back to him on the McKenzie Tour for that year, now the Corn Ferry Tour for 2 straight years were just on fire. And it was like, this guy wrapped up his card like 3 months in, it almost felt like, on the Corn Ferry Tour in last year. And now here he is heading the PGA Tour. You know, the stats back it up. The guy hits bombs, 323 off the tee. You know, that was third on the Corn Ferry Tour. I understand everybody hits it that far on the Corn Ferry Tour. It's different golf course than the PGA Tour, yada, yada, yada. But like, if you hit it far and you hit a lot of greens like he does, and you know, your putting average is decent and you make a lot of birdies, you're going to do great on the PGA Tour. And he does all of that. So if I had to pick, I'm going Taylor Bendrith for my player that I don't think we're going to see back.
Yeah. And I mean, I really think it's always with Taylor, as you know, is health related. I don't think it's ever been talent related. If he stays healthy, totally agree.
All right. So we have the top 25 here. We went the high end. I'm going to make you, and I know this kind of goes against what you do. I'm going to make you pick a player that you think they're going to have to fight for their life after this season to get back onto the PGA Tour. Who are you picking?
Yeah, Brett Druitt. I mean, I like Brett. He's a nice guy. He's kind of just like a solid Korn Ferry player. And I'm not sure it's going to translate to the PGA Tour. It doesn't hit it terribly long. You know, again, everybody hits it long, but in the scheme of things, not very long. Just has been out there before and struggled for the season he was out there. Nice dude. That would be my pick of the 25 of that. It's going to be an uphill battle for sure.
For sure. I'm actually, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever said in this podcast. And I said Phil Mickelson was going to miss the cut of the PGA Championship. I'm picking Steven Yeager. And the reason why, I'm going back for stats. He's had 2 years on the PGA Tour with full status. The 1 year he finished 165. The other year he finished 152. So you're grinding. He's played a lot out there. He's made good money out there. He's made great money. Like, this guy is a guy that I root for. When I saw him show up to that mini tour event with that cat t-shirt on and the cutoff jean shorts, I was like, that's my guy. Like, that is my guy through and through. I hope it's not the case, but you know, how many 5'9" and we all know he's not 5'9", but how many 5'9" golfers do you see out on the PGA Tour right now? It's just not that game anymore. He averaged 295 off the tee on the Korn Ferry Tour. That might come back a little bit on the PGA Tour with less wide fairways out there in the courses they play. I don't know. He's definitely the definition of one of those really, really good fringe players that, you know, gets hot certain weeks, makes a lot of money in those certain weeks. Maybe he found something. Maybe I'm wrong, but like, I don't know. It's the only one of all these where I have a little history to go on.
Yeah. I mean, he just, for some reason, has not made it translate and it's happened multiple times. So you have to wonder what has changed because if nothing's changed, he's back in the same boat.
Exactly. So, I love it. The one story I'm rooting for is Caddy JJ. He's 80 years old. I'm drawing a blank. Who's he caddying for right now?
Ben Coles.
He's with Ben Coles. Thank you. This guy is 80 years old. He caddied on the PGA Tour for almost 30 years up until 2011. I think he said, he's heading back to the PGA Tour. I don't know. Like, I mean, he grew up in the year of caddies where back in the era of the 80s where they didn't make a lot of money and those guys got into trouble. I got to know what trouble this guy got into that he's still caddying on the Korn Ferry Tour at 80. Like, he must not be allowed wherever his hometown is. Like, there must be like some sort of, you know, like hit out for this guy that he has to always be on the road. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I saw the guy walking up the fairway and I'm just like, how does this happen? Like, how are you still? I mean, again, you and I have talked about it, and the few times I've caddied, every time I caddy, I get to the end of the week and think, God, thank God I don't have to go caddy next week. Like, I mean, my body is tired. Just like, you just want to go lay down in your bed. And this guy at 80 is like on the road. I mean, Ben played 38 tournaments in the last 2 years. I mean, it's insane. It's insane that an 80-year-old man is hucking his bag around.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I remember at the Canadian Open, Fluff was, there was a little bit of rain delay on the Pro-Am day, and Fluff was in there and he's smoking a cigarette and he drops it. And the guy couldn't pick it up. He was like so stiff. And I'm like, this guy's going to die. Like, he's not going to make it through the week. Yeah. And lo and behold, there he is on Sunday, whatever. And you know, I'm watching him on the couch. It just, like, I don't understand. And they call it being in caddy shape. But like, I got to know what he's like. If there's an interview, you got to find a way for me to interview JJ. I need to know, like, what's he doing still doing this out on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I mean, he's literally almost died out there. I mean, yeah. He had a heart attack and is back again. So, and he says he's going for the next 2 years. He's like, 2 years is, I got to get Ben settled out there. So, I mean, Godspeed to an 81-year-old man.
That is insane. That is, I hope it goes well. Him and Fluff can talk about the old days out there. And yeah, I love it. We love to see it. Ryan, we really appreciate you coming on. This was very last minute. I know we tweeted out that Will Wilcox would be on this podcast. Will and I tried. Will's moving. He's in the middle of rural Alabama, which, you know, might have 2 bars of cell phone service on a good day. So we're going to figure it out. Will be on next week. Ryan hopped on last minute with me, literally 9:30 PM on Wednesday night, said he'd come on. You're always a great guy to chat with, always telling great stories. We'll leave it at this. Is there one final story that maybe people aren't paying attention to this week that you want to highlight?
Yeah, I mean, there's always good ones. I mean, they will develop. There will be at least one person that you will be surprised that gets his card, you know, via the Corn Ferry Finals. And it's always good to see the guys from like Europe. I mean, Robert McIntyre's here. You know, there's guys that are top ranked in the world and don't have, don't have full PGA Tour status playing finals. So we'll see where it goes the next 3 weeks.
I love it. Can't wait. Make sure you follow Ryan at A Case of the Golf 1 on Twitter. He'll have all those stories telling you who's on the bubble, who's getting their card, and who failed yet again. Ryan, we really appreciate it. We'll chat with you soon.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's fun.
All right. We thank Ryan for joining us. That was awesome. The guy is an absolute gem. We can't do it without guys like Ryan telling all those great stories of the golfers just trying to keep their cards. I'm just wrapping up this episode. No mailbag this week. No tip of the week. You don't want to hear from me. But what you do want to know is who won our TaylorMade head cover giveaway contest. This was happening at Tee Talk Podcast on Instagram. We had a post for 2 sets of Open Championship head covers. And we have our winners. We will be posting this on the Instagram. But we have our winners. Our first winner is at Chelsea Chin. And our second winner is at Johnny Hoons. Thank you for entering. We'll get all your information. We'll get that stuff shipped out to you. TaylorMade and all these other great companies continue to give us a ton of great stuff to give away. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at Tee Talk Podcast. And make sure you check out Flagstick's podcast. Flagstick's Instagram. They also have a podcast, 613 Golfer Podcast. But make sure you follow at Flagstick Golf on Instagram, at Flagstick on Twitter. Thank you, everyone, for listening, as per usual. I know Ryan called me Steven a couple times on the podcast. I let it slide. He's just too nice of a guy. Too many names for him to remember, and I'm not one he needs to. So that's a hope you got a laugh out of that. I did. Thank you, everyone. It's been great. It's so awkward talking to myself, and I'm just going to keep going. So I'm just going to end it here. Thank you to our audio engineer, Brendan Kennedy, for throwing this together late on a Wednesday night. Thank you, everyone, for entering the contest. And thank you for everyone who listened this week. We hope you enjoy the playoffs. We'll be back next week to break them down. We'll break down the Women's Open. And we'll be breaking down some Corn Ferry Tour finals. It's all starting. All right, folks. We'll leave it at that. See you next week.